And we're down on the field here at Dodger Stadium. Directly in front of us, Yasmani Grandal and Kenley Jansen getting ready to get into the cage and hit. Dodgers opening the season today at home. You'll hear it right here on AM 570 LA Sports against the dreaded San Francisco Giants. If you're heading out here to the stadium, parking lot and stadium gates open at 1 o'clock. Pre-game ceremony start at 3:30 this afternoon. Clayton Kershaw on the hill for the Dodgers. And tonight they will honor the 88 team. Kirk Gibson will throw out the first pitch. Later this hour, we're going to talk with Kirk right before he addresses the Los Angeles media.
What an exciting time for all of us. And he is going to be by, you know, they have the special seat where the home run hit in 1988 that you can sit at. We've talked about that whole thing. So he'll be a big-time guest. Scale of 1 to 10, guys. How much do the players hate opening day when we're sitting down here and staring at them?
11. You know what I just noticed? When Kenley Jansen was walking by and Yasmani Grandal was walking by, because he had his pants pulled up a second ago. Did I miss it last year? Did they do Stant socks last year?
No, I think he's just geeking some geeky socks.
Well, they both had them on. They both had L.A. Dodger Stant socks on. Yeah. I don't know. Is that right, Chapper? They're now the official sock sponsor.
Hey,
last year they
were.
All right, so this is
years.
Second year.
They
I didn't notice it last year.
The NBA and the MLB.
Damn good looking socks.
I just thought they were wearing their cool guy shoes like the NFL guys for warm-ups, right. And then they got to go to the boring stuff when the game starts. But
so are
baseball.
They different styles? They got stripes?
Yeah,
there
was one guy that had kind of the Argyle going with the interlocking LA. The other one had stripes. A little bit of flavor
How
in the socks
that?
They can pick
like
from,
that.
Huh?
Cash me outside on those Stant socks. What do you got on that, Fred?
I like it, P. I like those socks.
Well, remember back in the day, you could choose what kind of stirrups you were going to wear. Were you going to wear those ones that cut down just above your ankle and had the stripes all the way up, or were you going to wear just that thin band that came all the way up to kind of your mid-calf? And now a little bit of freedom in the sock choice for the guys.
Good. Freedom is important,
it
man.
It is. This is America, isn't it?
You're damn right it is.
I see the bunting out there
it's
in
baseball.
The outfield.
I mean, freedom, hot dogs, baseball, opening day. You know, somebody it asked is. A question I saw earlier on Twitter, a colleague of ours up in Seattle, and I did think it was interesting because we love a lot of different sports. And here on AM 570 LA Sports, we have and talk about a lot of different sports. We are your Dodger station, but opening weekend in the NFL is a big deal, and it's exciting.
Yep.
But people don't talk about it like they talk about the opening day of baseball. The first game of the year in college football, obviously, I love that. That's the sport I cover the most. But we don't talk about it like the beginning of the baseball season. The same with hockey. Same with the NBA opening night for the Lakers. Obviously, Clippers, big deal. But it's not like
not even close.
What is it? And the NFL is the most popular sport in the country. There's no doubt about it. But what is it about this sport and opening day that draws such nostalgia for people, that brings people out, that is almost like an appointment for people to where they take a day off of school or work and they come out?
I think
out.
You just said it. You just that said is. It because it's usually during
it's
the day. And you remember if you were a kid and you were lucky enough to go to opening day, it meant mom or dad or both were taking you out of school. They were taking the day off and you were going out to what was probably a noon or a 1 o'clock start.
See, that's better than my answer. My answer would have been hot dogs.
No,
but you're right.
But
I think it's a weekday thing.
Yeah. It's a weekday thing. You know, NFL is Saturday or Sunday. And
NBA is at night.
College football is a Saturday. Right. And NBA is at night. So, yeah, this is the one sport that you get out of school.
You get to play hooky.
You get to leave work. And people will allow you to do that and come out here. And I think after a long spring training, which baseball has, guys are ready to come back to their home stadium and play, and to be able to do it at home is a big deal.
And I also think that baseball is a novel, unlike any other sport. There are so many games, and the season seems to last forever.
Yeah.
That the beginning of baseball is unlike any other sport.
Because you're starting this long 162 thing. And it's also interesting because I would have just said hot dogs and togetherness and the long grind. Because when we get up to left field, which is where Matt and I do most of our pregame shows. We're out here for every homestand just about. When we get out there and we watch the people come into the stadium, people have season tickets. It's like their living room here. You know, they come here every single night when the Dodgers are at home. They see each other. They talk. It's wonderful human interaction, and it's a great slice of people getting together in our city. And the most heartening thing I thought was when the World Series came around and all of those people could have sold their tickets, because it's been so long.
They were all here.
They could have sold their tickets to some corporate firm of some kind, or a ticket broker to sell it to really rich people to fly in and watch the games. It was all Dodger fans here. It was all the people that we see every other night that walk into the stadium and have a good time. And I guess the start of that is really special.
Yeah, I would say that, P, you hit it on the head, because we were there all during the playoffs, then the NLDS, the NLCS, the World Series, and we saw the same people out in left field that would come through, and you're right, they could have sold them for a fortune as far as Game 7 of the World Series. People could have made like a year's salary on selling their tickets, and
but they
didn't do it.
They'd waited so long, Rodney. They'd waited so long for the opportunity to be in that position, and if you are a Dodger fan, look, the brands in town that transcend, Dodgers and Lakers. If you're a Dodger fan, you're a Dodger fan for life. You wait a long time. The season lasts forever. And you sit and you wait, and for them to get to where they were last year, you know those people that have been there so many years absolutely weren't going to sell their tickets.
It's not the case here, but I think, you know, it's also, remember, in all of these, you know, four seasonal climates, it signals, hey, summer has arrived. The boys of summer are home. They've returned from Arizona, or they've returned from Florida. That means all of this snow is going to melt, and the sun is now going to be coming out, because we got damn baseball to play, and Mother Nature is going to cooperate. So I do think there is a signal of that. Hey, the school year's almost ended, you know, for the young kids back when baseball was the most popular sport in America, which probably just tilted to the NFL, I don't know, in the last maybe 20 years or so. But before that, it signaled kind of the greatness of summer when you were a child. And it was just kind of a reminder that, hey, man, we're only about a month away from getting out of this damn school and watching baseball every single day.
Definitely a very different vibe than any of the other sports we cover. And we cover it pretty close for opening day. But there is such a thing as being too hyped. And remember, those people that didn't sell their tickets, one of those people got a little geeked up during the World Series and jumped into the Houston Astros bullpen. And we can't have that, guys. We can't have people jumping into the bullpen. I think that guy got bum-rushed so hard by the Houston Astros bullpen and security that his feet never actually hit the ground. He just got pinned up against the wall like a fly.
He did not take a step.
What happened?
Yeah,
what happened?
But you can get too geeked, too. You know, it's great to keep your tickets and enjoy yourself and not sell them, but don't try to get the most out of your buck by jumping into the Houston Astros bullpen. Like, what are you going to do? You going to punch Keuchel, give him a Charlie horse or something? You know, we can't have that guy. We can't have it.
You see Matt Kemp walk out here? You see
looked
Matt
good.
Kemp?
Yeah, he looked really good.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
I saw him earlier when he hugged Rodney like they were
there's Puig.
Related.
There he is. He had a dilly-dilly shirt on like David
Vasse. He waved to you, Fred. See that work?
There
he
did. You go.
He waved to you, Fred.
And he's
good
wearing
job,
tennis
Fred.
Shoes. Not wearing cleats right now. He's
like
wearing his pregame
those,
tennis shoes right now.
Those are the ones he's. Oh, those are not the ones he sported on Instagram. He's got new ones. He's selling it.
What are those?
He's marketing.
Are those Air Max?
It's all
is that what he's wearing?
Look at that. I don't know what
all
those
right, Matt
are.
Kemp getting in
the. Those are not Dodger colors.
Chris Taylor just hit a couple straightaway center. Watching those balls go out of here.
Kirk Gibson is going to join us later on this hour. He will be honored, as will the 88 team, before the game tonight. Kirk will throw out the first pitch. We're live on the field at Dodger Stadium. Come on down. Gates open. They're open. They opened at 1 o'clock. Pre-game ceremony started at 3:30. And we're back with more on AM 570 LA Sports. Back on the field at Dodger Stadium as we continue to get ready for the season opener against the Giants. We're all here and now joined by Joe Davis, the biggest superstar in broadcasting in this country. Joe, thank you for stopping by today.
In the world. What are you talking about, Fred? In the world.
Big time.
That's a really good introduction. It's really false, but
it's a heck of a title.
Tell you what.
It's a lot of pressure with that.
So you don't get to call the opening game.
He's number one, Fred. He's the number. I did a game with him this year, this calendar year, and I can tell you right now.
He's the number one.
Number one.
Oh, no. Superstardom for you.
Number two, Matt.
Who's three?
Matt Smith, the voice of the Bulls.
Yeah.
Number three, Niehaus. And he's gone.
Niehaus.
That's it.
Joe, you're not calling opening day, though.
Oh, isn't it a bummer, man? I mean, for it's probably makes
no sense. No.
For me, it's kind weird, man. You come here and opening day, and you got all the pageantry around it and the festivities, and then the game gets here, and I don't get to do what I do. So it's a bit of a bummer. Wife's coming. We'll watch it fans.
Yeah. So when you're, I mean, you know, you do play-by-play. You have to, you know, share with the viewers what's going on, but you also tell stories and kind of provide background. When a team returns that's pretty much intact. Kind of, I assume, I'm sure you've been through a ton of prep. I mean, what's some of the new, I guess, information, some of the new stories that you found with this team when kind of a lot of the players are still the same?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, there aren't too many guys to kind of just dive in on since, like you said, it's mostly the same group. But I think there's always new stuff you can find, and guys are always working on things. I mean, we'll have Alex Wood starting our first game tomorrow. Wood's pitching exclusively out of the stretch for the first time tomorrow. So that's a whole story we can talk about, a whole thing we can ask Alex about. Little things like that with each guy that you can kind of continue to layer your prep on. So, yeah, you don't necessarily have like a Logan Forsyth brought in like they did last year where there's a whole set of new stories you'll get. But I'm always trying to add and keep things fresh for sure.
Hey, Joe, I mean, last year was such a historical season. I mean, I remember your calls, you know, night after night, day after day, player after player. And they kept doing it night in and night out. How do you duplicate that? I mean, as fans get ready to anticipate this new season, I mean, how do you not expect the same thing that we saw last year?
Well, that's the hard thing, right? I think that naturally becomes the expectation, first of all, that you win 104 games again. Second of all, that you do it the way they were doing it last year, which was, like you mentioned, absurdly magical. You know, it was every single night it was happening. And that didn't have me concerned, but I'm trying to be very measured about how excited I get compared to, like, those expectations. Trying not to make those the expectations because it was such a unique season. I still think it's a team capable of winning 100 games. It just may not feel like it felt last year because I don't know that there could ever be a regular season that would match that.
And you're going to have to hashtag determined and not hashtag this team.
What happens if I don't?
I don't know. I got to ask you. I mean, you were really dedicated to this team. I think it spoke to you. Does determined speak to you? Does that hashtag speak to you in the same way, Jeff?
Not many hashtags speak to me. I'm not a big hashtag guy.
I know, but you did hashtag this team from time to time.
I think I said this team, and then it became a hashtag.
Ah!
They put the hashtag on it.
So who said determined this year? Who came up with that?
Probably Hershiser, somebody like that.
It's not organic. Now, speaking of feelings, right, I felt like it was Frost Nixon when you and Matt were talking right before, and we got the food showing up right now, when you guys were talking about the big green egg.
Oh, yeah.
Now, of course, we deal with barbecues galore all the time, but we are proprietors of misinformation on this show. I said that your TV partner, Oral Hershiser, bought you the big green egg.
Oh, no.
That's a G-darn lie.
Whoa.
It was Brady Quinn, the Notre Dame, that Irish pig. Yeah. I love Brady, but he bought Joe.
Hair,
I just want to get that
wars,
right.
The hair wars with the
oh, dude, I lose that one every time.
Oh, man.
One of the only ones you're going to lose, by the way, Joe. There aren't many that you're losing.
No, thanks, not many. Yes. But Brady Quinn, yeah. He spends 12 hours, though. That's
he does. Right.
Yeah.
I'm just not willing to invest
but
what
you're
it
a
takes.
Grill master. Let's get enough with the hair. Let's get to the grill. Let's get to the grill, Davis.
Hopefully it's two
you're
separate conversations.
Yes, it is.
You are a pit master.
You're grilling your
pit. What is the cut of meat? What is the item that you have grilled on your big green egg that you are most proud of?
Probably beef ribs. I've done them twice. First time I did them, it turned out to be the best thing I've ever made. Second time I did them, not quite as good. I had a couple severe temperature swings that I think screwed it up. But
tough to get the tenderness on the beef ribs.
Yeah, if you have any issues, and I had just a couple issues that I think the fat didn't render out the way it should.
Look at that.
You know, I'm kind of talking like inside baseball here, inside grilling kind of stuff.
Good inside baseball.
You got to have that steady low temperature, and I didn't have that the last time. You name it, though, man. I like doing it all.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by talking about grilling.
Man.
The food has arrived, Joe.
Beautiful.
Oh, Steve Garvey has delivered the food. Hey, thanks for coming by, man.
Anytime, guys.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
He's the best.
He is.
Enjoy being a fan today, Joe.
Yeah.
He wants to call the game. You leave Joe Davis alone.
No,
he wants to call the game. He's a pent up ball of frustration right now. He's polished and he knows how to act professional around here. But he wants a piece of this contest tonight. He's going to have to wait till tomorrow. God bless him. What a star. Thank you, Joe. Let's talk food, Fred. We got number one, food connoisseur in the history of Chavez Ravine joining us right now. He has become that man. He's become like the Guy Fieri of baseball in many ways, Fred. Joining us right now, the should-be Hall of Famer, one of the greatest Dodgers that ever lived, and his forearms are still, as they say, on fleek.
Oh, my goodness. They are.
He's joining us.
Got to cover
on the
those
field,
bad boys up nowadays.
Representing Kings Hawaiian and everything wonderful that they cook here at Dodger Stadium. He brought Chef Flores with him, Angelito. What's cracking, brother? Good to see you. What's up, Steve? How are you? Steve Garvey, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm an executive chef in training with Mr. Flores. The Chef Flores here. And today we have the fabulous King's Hawaiian Grill food.
Oh, it's the best.
Right? Is it great?
It
or
is
what?
The best. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we've got the new lobster roll this year. Right?
We see the
Glenn
lobster roll.
Daily from New England.
Very strong.
Oh,
we've
thank
got
goodness.
Wings. We've got pulled pork and brisket.
Oh, my God.
We have nachos with pulled pork. We've got Dodger dogs are sacred in tradition.
No doubt.
Sure.
But if you'd like to just kind of extend
the
yourself.
The world keeps turning, Garvey.
We have barbecue pulled pork on a Dodger
the world
dog,
keeps turning.
Which just took the stadium by storm last year. So, Steve, great to have you with you.
You got a piece of this place?
No. These are my dear friends. And King's Hawaiian has been around 60 years. Great company. Great Hawaiian family, the Tyras. And great American company. So, you know what happened? We opened last year in the over the left field pavilion, King's Hawaiian Grill. It did so well that we got a call from the Yankees, and we're opening King's Hawaiian Grill between home and first at Yankee Stadium next week.
Congratulations.
So, yeah.
That's great news.
How long have you been here? Because I saw you on it. You were on Instagram like when the sun was coming up with a spatula in your hand.
5 o'clock this morning.
Why?
No hair and makeup. I was 6'1" when I started, and now I'm not. So this is what we do, right? But we also talk about opening day and great Dodger history and a few innings away from a world championship and maybe a date with destiny this year.
What is your – oh, I'm sorry, Rodney.
No, go. I was just going to ask, you mentioned opening day. What is it – you know, for you, was it a big deal for, you know, opening day, or was it like, God, just get here so we can just get the season started?
No, big day,
yeah.
Obviously. You know, spring training is spring training. I mean, there are numbers and statistics. But it's really a time to prepare physically and mentally and spiritually. I always thought it was a time where the team comes together. And it takes 6 weeks for, you know, every year it's different. It's a little different.
Spring training?
Yeah. This team is fundamentally basically the same.
Right.
But you make some additions. Guys get more mature, lose a couple of guys here or there. But it's not the same team, but the fundamentals are the same. So
best, what was your best opening day that you recall?
Oh, gosh, best opening day. You know, I started, I think, 8 of them. So they were memorable. We won a majority of them. But opening day for me is this great historic franchise, the beginning of this year's journey. And you guys know it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And you have two different seasons. You got the regular season and the postseason. And we had a great regular season, a very good postseason until Game 7. And it was a great World Series.
Steve, given how close they came last year, when they come into camp this year, you would think in the back of their mind it's not the frustration of coming up short, but maybe the realization that they were one game away and now they know what it takes.
Absolutely. You know, if you've never been there before, most of them hadn't. You know, Utley had been there before so he could share, but you've got to experience. You got to be out there. It's not just another game. This is the World Series. This is, for me, playing with little oranges and grapefruit in the backyard, being the Yankees and Dodgers in the 50s with a broomstick, and then all of a sudden one day being in a World Series, and then being in Yankee-Dodger World Series in 77, 78, and then 11:59 looking up at Dodger Stadium and the clock, you know, Game 5 in 1981, and realizing that this is about it, and Reggie Jackson being next to me and going, Garb, it's your turn.
You mentioned with 77 and 78, and these guys experienced that, having lost a World Series, especially one where you lose Game 7 in your home ballpark with the best player on the planet in Clayton Kershaw, dazzling with his four-inning stint. But you think about how that started. Anyway, too many details. How hard is it to carry disappointment through the offseason and then just shake off whatever it was that disappointment was when opening day rolls around?
The more experience we have, the wiser we get in compartmentalizing and learning from experiences, both wins. We usually learn more through defeat than we do through victory. So this team, I think, is better educated, better positioned mentally to go into the season, better understand what's going to happen once they get to October. And that's why I think this team is stronger.
The great Steve Garvey is our guest, joining us right now at AM 570 LA Sports, your official home of the Dodgers. Real Dodger talk right here and real Dodger food. Steve Garvey, not only one of the greatest Dodgers that ever lived, but a mixed plate proprietor of Hawaiian food.
Yes,
like
he
you
is.
Could not believe. We got the mixed plate style going on right here, and it is epic. We got chicken, we got fries, we got macaroni salad, we got coleslaw, we got pulled pork, we have tri-tip, we got barbecue sauce, and the King's Hawaiian bread, and the lobster roll, and finally,
oh my goodness,
napkins as well.
Very special napkins.
Who needs
Steve,
napkins?
We absolutely
that make you look better.
We love
when you're
Steve.
Done with it.
Steve's
with
been in
aloe vera.
Steve's been in his suit since 5:30 this morning.
And he looks better than all of us.
Not a spot on it, man. You've been grilling since 5:30,
right.
Man.
Hey, let me tell you what we're doing this year too. This every homestand, I'm going to do a way we were interview with a legend at the grill. We're going to do grilling with the Garves starting in June. But what I've added is when I'm here, I'm going to go into the stands and whoever's eating King's Hawaiian that we see. Probably six people at home. I've got my little King's Hawaiian bag with autographed pictures and balls and premium tickets for sometime in the next home
stand. How about that?
So it's going to be called Who at Dodger Stadium is Eating King's Hawaiian. So it's a chance to go into the stands, thank the fans, go from there.
And by the way, it's like winning twice because you get the delicious food from Chef Flores and from obviously Chef Steve. Yeah. As well, and you get the bonus if you get seen by Mr. Garvey here throwing it down. Now, if you've noticed, I've been kind of laying out for a couple minutes at a time because I've been stuffing
my wings first with the lava sauce.
Yes. I've tried it all: the brisket, the pulled pork, the lobster roll. It is all ridiculous.
You guys,
you picked the right spot to do your work in, by the way, because you know, you get the pinch off a little bit as it's all cooking.
Well, we've created destiny out of the plaza too, but you guys have always been great fans and fun for me and dear friends and.
Real quick, Bellinger stole some of my fries. I just want to go on record.
Whoa.
They were holding the fries over there.
Son of a gun.
And Bellinger went by and he got his dirty first baseman hands.
Well,
no offense,
no.
Garb.
Okay, just between us, this guy. He took one of the wings and rubbed it on the sweet spot of the bat. And if I said to him, if you start a streak every day, you're going to have some wings in the clubhouse waiting for you.
That's not a bad thing.
Let's go.
We're not superstitious, right?
But he's not going to be one of the six that you choose.
If it works.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for coming by.
Can I do one last thing?
Please.
I had a chance in spring training to be a guest instructor for a couple days. And I spoke to the team two Saturdays ago. And I talked about, obviously, careers being quick in a blink of the eye. But I also talked to the guys about what they should feel when they put the Dodger jersey on. And I had everybody's attention at that time, from Clayton all the way down to the rookies. And I told him, it's probably only two franchises that have this great history, and it's Yankees-Dodgers. And if you don't understand what it is, then you don't have a chance to appreciate how special it is to put the jersey on, to revere it, to celebrate it, to feel that you're honored to play this game, but especially in the Dodgers, because what you're doing, not only that, but you're playing for the best fans in the world. You're part of something special that doesn't last long. So nurture it, enjoy it. And the guys got it.
And that means a heck of a lot coming from you, a Dodger legend, but also someone who experienced a whole lot of success with the Padres and really their most memorable season
when you
had that comeback against the Cubs in 1984. Granted, didn't win a World Series, but still the best run that that franchise ever had. And then to put that in perspective with what it means and the difference, the separation between franchises.
Thank you for reminding that, too, because it was a good five-year run. Went to the World Series for the first time in San Diego. And that's what you do, though. I mean, Gossage and Nettles joined us from the Yankees, and Tony Gwynn was starting out his career. But really, the three of us with veteran experience were able to convey it to the young guys and go from there. So thank you.
Steve, thank you for coming by.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
guys.
Hawaiian, if this place was open during the offseason,
they would come here for dinner.
They would come to Dodger Stadium.
They would.
It's that good.
Yes, absolutely.
Bless you guys. Great year. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. We've got Kirk Gibson coming up in a couple of minutes, but let's check in with Vic.
That's for fat people. Eat this.
But that's the other way around.
Thank you, Vic.
Baby, look.
What a beautiful time to be alive.
Wait, Vic, give it to me one time, opening day, man. Come on.
Come on now. It is opening day, AM 570 LA Sports, your official home of the Dodgers. Giants are in town. Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck with the one and only Tim Cates. We'll start in left field at 3 o'clock proper. First pitch at 4:08. Since moving to California, the Giants have won 6 of 11 opening day contests, though the Dodgers have won the last three, 2008, 2011, and 2013. And the Dodgers and Giants on opening day, that's a very special meeting.
Certainly is. Four-game series, and it is something we ought to get used to because these two teams are going to tangle 10 times in the first 27 games of the Dodgers. They will face the Giants 10 times, and you think about the injuries that the Giants are dealing with. No Mad Bomb today to face off with Clayton Kershaw, and no Samardzija. So you're talking about their number three pitcher. No Mark Melancon.
Yeah,
their
Mark Melancon is hurt. Yeah.
Also hurt. So Dodgers have an opportunity to really take advantage. Not that we won't think they will over the course of the season, but really send a message to the Giants after they made a lot of moves in the offseason.
And the moves, offensively, the moves are really good, I think, with McCutchen and then Longoria. I mean, they've got a pretty good lineup, 1-5, with what they already had. But you mentioned it, from a pitching standpoint, can they hold up? I mean, they may win games or lose games 10-9 because they can score some runs, but the pitching is off.
And we did just say Tim Cates will have Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck starting at 3 o'clock in left field. I just saw him use two pieces of King's Hawaiian bread as utensils to shovel into his mouth a bunch of pulled pork.
Yes, he did.
Let's hope that he makes it. Now, Fred Rogan has ventured deep into the bowels. No pun intended with the last couple days.
All right, guys, we're ready.
He is. Fred, it's deep in the bowels of Dodger Stadium live with our very special guest today.
All right, it's a pleasure to be joined by Kirk Gibson. The 88 team being honored tonight. Kirk will throw out the first pitch. It's good to see you again. Thanks for coming over.
Two times in 2 days. We haven't seen each other in 30 years. That's special.
The second time that we've run into each other. What does it mean for you to be here tonight, Kirk?
We talked about it yesterday. It's, you know, I'm here. I'm going to bounce the first pitch or overthrow it or do whatever I'm going to do. But it just is significant that I'm representing the whole Dodgers organization, my teammates, the coaches, the fans. It was a special year. And as I told you previously in some of our conversations, I get somewhat humbled by moments like this, and I don't ever want to take anything away, though I'm going to be the guy out there on the mound today for the first pitch. Wanted everybody to know, as represents the whole team, everybody who gave everything they had. We were not picked to finish where we finished. We faced the almighty Mets and the almighty A's. We were heavy underdogs, and because of who we were and collectively became during the year, that's how we beat them. Talent-wise, maybe not as good on paper, but as a team, Tommy did a heck of a job, and you know, from the scouts to Fred Clair, the GM, and of course the O'Malley's and the fans, we had a little bit of fun that year. So they've always been good to me in that year, and continue to do so, and hopefully we'll have a really special celebration today, and then they can go ahead and celebrate at the end of the year with another championship in 2018.
You know, it really does boggle the mind that your career in Los Angeles was basically a cup of coffee. You were here. There are many stars and many great players that have been in this city, but your moment, your home run, always ranks as the number one sports moment in Los Angeles history. When you hear that, what do you think?
Why me? I was lucky. I'm grateful. But, you know, when you play for 17 years in the big leagues, you have a lot of downtime, a lot of failures. You have a lot of things that don't go well and people doubt you. You have to continue to fight through. And my parents, you took it. And I used to tell them of our day. And when we hit that home run, the stadium went crazy. I was talking to Mary Hart and Bert last night, and they said they were walking out to their car. And the first thing they felt, they thought it was an earthquake. And after that, so it's a special memory. It's a special time here, especially in the history of the game. I was fortunate to have done that, but it's significant that I never quit. I thought about it. I had some great people along the way to tell me to keep going because, you know, it would pay off in the end, and it has.
Now, at what point in time did you come to the realization that you had Parkinson's?
When they told me April of 2015, I was on doing my open for the Tigers radio or TV. And I felt stress and anxiety like I'd never felt before. I mean, I love moments like that. like tonight when I throw the first pitch out. You know, I was always been pumped up. I'll be pumped up tonight, but you know, Parker will be gnawing at me a little bit. I'll have to deal with that. But I just knew because I had not been feeling good and I had a lot of orthopedic things. I thought I had surgery on my neck, my shoulder, my knee, all on the left side. And they thought it was just old injuries. And after that day, I said, this is more than that. And I contacted a friend of mine, and he got me in to see a doctor, and they diagnosed me basically in 2 days. And, you know, it's a kick in the butt. And, you know, I now have a new normal, and I now have kind of expanded the mission of my foundation, the Kirk Gibson Foundation, to help people that maybe are living a similar story. I mean, looking back, there were a lot of signs, but we missed it. We didn't know it. And once you know who your opponent is, you can go after him and you can attack and you can try and deal with it. And I'm promoting to do that to others. And ultimately, we want to find a cure because there is no cure for Parkinson's disease.
All right, guys, you want to ask Kirk a couple of questions?
Fred, you're doing such a great job. We're riveted over here and really enjoying the interview. Of course, we're thinking about 1988, but you know, when I hear about Kirk, I think about Michigan State. You know, we just had Steve Garvey on, and he was a great cornerback at Michigan State. But do people talk to you a lot about your football days and how good of a football player you were?
Yeah, from time to time, you know, I got inducted into the National Football Hall of Fame. The National Collegiate Football Hall of Fame.
You know, we're getting a little interference. You want to go up one more? Let's see if we can. I know we don't want to go all the way out here.
Anyway, I was inducted into the National College Football Hall of Fame this year, so we've talked about football a little more than normal. And realistically, and for me to be fair, I like football better than baseball.
Oh, it's there you go.
Good answer.
It fuels my personality. I liked contact. I was fast. I was big.
Really
fast. I thought I was going to be in the NFL. But you know what? This is everybody that's listening to me, you think you know what you're doing. I was 21 years old, and I thought I was going to be a top NFL pick the next year. I wanted to be, and my football coach asked me that question. This is my junior year. Do you want to be a top pick in the NFL, top three, top five max? I said, yeah. He says, you sure? I said, yeah. He says, go play baseball. I hadn't played baseball in 3 years. I said, play baseball? What's that going to do? He says, trust me. It was Daryl Rogers. He's 87 years old. I just saw him a month ago in Palm Desert. We see each other every year. And, you know, he just understood. And, you know, you have mentors along the way and people who sponsor you. That was a huge moment. I went out and played baseball. And by the end of that spring, I was drafted as number one pick for my home team, Tigers. And, you know, I'd made a deal that I could come back and play my senior year of football after I played my junior year of baseball in the pros that summer. And then I agreed that I'd give football up after that. And, you know, 17 years later, a couple world championships, met great people, traveled all around the world, great teammates, special moments, some tough times, some good times, some great lessons, and I hope that I continue to be a better person and give back. And hopefully there's still many out there that will continue to make me better. And you're always looking. So you think you know what you're doing. I always ask everybody, you know, what are you going to be doing in 5 years? Not many people think about it, but it's good to dream about it, to think about it. But stay tuned, because it may be 180 degrees different than what you think you're going to be.
Kirk Gibson is with us on AM570 LA Sports. Before we let you go, and I know you have to go address the media, in right field, they have painted the seat blue where your legendary home run hit. And all of the proceeds from that seat this year will go to your foundation. You've worked with the Dodgers. That seat is sold out for the entire season. Talk about it.
Yeah, it's great. I used to walk, when I walk into Dodger Stadium, every time I look out there at that seat, and I always said, seat 88, I named it for my own personal reference. And, you know, obviously I visualized what happened that night because it's a good memory and it helps positivity within myself and helps me write new affirmations and imprint the information in a positive fashion. And, you know, when you do that, I believe that you have I used to have the saying, I times V equals R. Imagery times vividness equals reality. how vividly you can imagine something will determine how real it becomes. Now, I'm getting deep now, but I hope everybody's following me here.
Go ahead.
So, you know, that's what that signifies for me. And the Dodgers have been unreal as far as joining forces with the Kirk Gibson Foundation. I welcome you to go to the website, kirkgibsonfoundation.org. Read about what my mission is and my stories in there about the foundation, about many of the organizations we're working with to try and help many others who suffer from this disease and, you know, ultimately try and find a cure. And this is the tip of the iceberg. And I plan on being around here in the future, and we're getting into bigger and better things. And for this year, it's Go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers. My friend, it's good to see you again. Thanks for coming by, Kirk. And actually, I got to tell you, we're fortunate we're standing here, and I saw Kirk yesterday. You look great. I got to tell you, you really do look great.
About the only thing I can really do good right now is run. So I can still beat you in a race.
All right. There he goes, Kirk Gibson. Kirk, thanks for your time. Guys, I'm going to send it back over to you.
Oh, that was fantastic,
Fred. Unreal,
and
Fred.
A big
great
thank you
stuff.
To Kirk Gibson. He's a busy man today, has a lot of duties as he's throwing out the first pitch. We mentioned the seat that's for sale, the foundation, and to give us those 15 minutes really was special. Well done, Fred. We're still here at Dodger Stadium, and we will step aside here real quick, come back with more coverage all the way until 3 o'clock. Then Tim Cates will take it until 4 o'clock first pitch. Clayton Kershaw versus Ty Black going to happen today, and we will step aside, come back with maybe somebody.
Surprise.
Welcome back. It is the great Dodger coverage on AM570 LA Sports, your home of the Dodgers. We are on the field and ready to rock and roll. What a great interview we just had that Fred Rogan did with Kirk Gibson. Fred is back and joining us right now, Matt, one of our favorite people of all time. He didn't just steal our chicken and fries.
No, he also got some hot sauce put on that bat from Steve Garvey. It's Cody Bellinger. What's happening, Cody?
How you guys doing?
Doing well. Obvious question. It is now your second. Well, it's your opening day. So what do you make of opening day? What's different about this from the other games you've played in thus far? Do you feel any different going into this one?
I mean, definitely excited. It's kind of a dream come true. You obviously watch opening day on TV. To be on first base behind Kershaw on opening day is pretty special for sure.
Yeah, and you didn't have opening day, but you played most of the season. And so it feels like this is your second opening day. How has it been going through last year and then coming into spring training and now being here as the season starts mentally for you?
Yeah, I think it's different. I think first game of the year, everyone's just excited. Adrenaline's going, and I think we're all anxious to get this game going. But it's definitely it was a long off season, long spring training, so it's nice to be here.
When you say long, you mean long emotionally, trying to kind of reconcile what happened, or did it feel like it? Because we feel like we were just here yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know why I said long. I think I meant to say short. We had a bunch of weddings.
I meant to say short off.
Everybody got married. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, we had a short off season, but long spring training. But definitely short off season was short, so it's nice to be out here to prepare and get your body right for the first game.
Cody, you are a lot bigger. What did you do during the off season to get so big so fast?
Well, I really focused in on what I was eating a little bit. Ate a lot of food. I tried to eat as much as I could. And I just kind of worked out the same. But I think, you know, as I'm getting older, waist is starting to come on a little bit. And I think the biggest thing for me this year is I got to maintain my strength and my waist. So I'm going to see how I can do that.
You know, you think about yourself like a year ago at this time, and you think about yourself right now, and you got those sweet blades. You know, all this stuff is available to you. I mean, how different do you feel this year?
Yeah, different. This time last year, I was in spring training getting ready to start my season in Oklahoma City. So, like I said, to be out here in Los Angeles and seeing all the fans already out here 2 hours before game time is pretty cool.
Besides, the strength, I mean, it's going to be, look, you had a hell of a season last year. So you think about when you talk to ball players, what they want to add, what they want to tweak in the offseason. What would you say was maybe the one thing besides adding the weight and the strength that you focused on coming into this year?
Very little changes to my swing. I kind of, you know, obviously you hear the sophomore slump, you hear the second year, the first year is a bust or whatever. I just wanted to do what I could to be more consistent hitter. So I'm just kind of learn that and see how it goes from there.
Thanks for coming by, man. We appreciate it.
Awesome, guys. Thank you.
There he goes, Cody Bellinger, out getting his work in now. Rob Parker just dropped by. He's eating free chicken wings, and we know Rob. We're all out here at Dodger Stadium.
It really is. Damn, that bone is clean.
Morongo Casino, Dodgers on deck, and we're back with more on AM 570 LA Sports.